that are joining us. So let's give the Lord a praise and a thanksgiving for them joining us. And I'm going to go ahead and say, and you're going to hear it a few times over the next week, but on December 14th, which is a Thursday night, just about 2.5 weeks away, on December 14th, the Irwins are going to be with us here in concert. And so that's a great night for us. It's a Christmas concert. And so I want to tell you, there are people that are more acceptable of Jesus during Christmas than probably any other time of year. And I want to tell you, invite people to a free Christmas concert. And I want to tell you, they'll come. You invite them. Let the Lord put it on your heart. And I just pray in the name of Jesus for great favor and great boldness on your part and discernment on your part about even who to invite, but that the Lord will give us favor when we invite people to come. They're going to see Jesus that night through song, and they're going to hear about Jesus that night. And I want to tell you, you know the Irwins, they're friends of ours, and they're here on a regular basis, but they're top-notch. They've received national awards. Your friends, your neighbors are not going to be embarrassed. They're going to be touched. They're going to be impressed. But the greatest thing about the Irwins, and we're very careful about who comes in here, I know them. We know they love Jesus. And when they're here, they're going to be presenting Jesus that night. And so that's on December 14th on a Thursday night. Those of you that are listening in and looking in, if you're within driving distance, we've already paid for your ticket. And you know what? We got room for you. And you drive right on in. Won't hardly be any traffic that night, I'm prophesying. And you come right on in. It'll be worth driving for. And all the saints said, amen. Well, this is Thanksgiving, and this is a special Thanksgiving service for us. Every Sunday after Thanksgiving, something we do as a church. It's Testimony Sunday. And those of you that are watching and listening in, you're not going to get to be able to get in on that. I'm going to share just a few moments, and that's a statement of faith. You can hear all the people shouting, you know, that are believing. I'm going to share just a few moments about Thanksgiving that's on my heart. And actually, I can do this in a short way because I've already told the beautiful blonde, I've already written a series on Thanksgiving. And so, you know, this will be coming in 24. But really and truly, I'm going to share with you just a few moments, so listen in. And we're going to share a few moments here, talk about Jesus, the power of Thanksgiving, and then we're going to get to practice it. And this is Testimony Sunday. So, saints, if you're here and you know this is Testimony Sunday and yours is not ready, you be seeking the Lord while I speak, okay? And because we want to give him honor and glory today. And all the people said, amen. When we practice Thanksgiving, your soul is healthy. That's what happens when you have a grateful heart. You affect your whole system and even people around you when you have an attitude of gratitude. And, you know, if there's anybody on the face of the earth that ought to be so obvious that we're thankful and we have a cheerful heart, it ought to be believers in Jesus. They ought to be an obvious, absolutely billboard lit up with your countenance that Jesus is Lord and he's a good, good Father. And so listen to this. Let's look at these scriptures. And these are probably in your notes. They have notes this morning. Amen. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. See, it's our theme. This is our theme. It's our daily theme. Not just when there's turkey cooking. This is our daily theme. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, this is what we're doing today. This is something we're to do every day, is to practice giving thanks and giving a report of the Lord of his goodness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hand of the adversary. Psalm 107, 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And so not only do we praise and give thanks and confess this to the Lord, because this ministers to the Lord. Giving thanks blesses him. But at the same time, this is our good report of the Lord that we give to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul. He's the only one who can. I tried to minister to somebody the other day, and they just believed, well, if I could just have a baby, I would be so... Oh, my. Come on now. Oh, no. You best be satisfied in your soul before you have babies, because babies. Okay. All right. I don't have to. I get enough witness right now. And so he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with good. He's designed your soul to be hungry. And I want to tell you, it depends on what water you're drinking. Depends on how you do it. Okay? But he offers peaceful waters. Oh, I'm telling you, that's what our shepherd's all about. Psalm 107, 17 through 22. Some are fools. Now, come on now. You know this is true. That are made ill. In other words, they have brought it on themselves because of their foolish heart. Some people say, well, you're fools because of your actions. No, no, no. According to the Bible, you're a fool because of your heart. Actions follow that. Because of the way of their transgressions, and they're afflicted because of their iniquities. In other words, we can dig a pit with our name on it, and it can be a mess. Anybody ever experienced that? Thank you for being honest. I'm in the right place. And verse 18 says, they loathe every kind of food. Now, what this is saying is that, you know, hey, it's a worldwide thing that people like food. If not, they're not here very long. But I want to tell you, when you get to the place where nothing satisfies you, and that's what this is talking about, nothing satisfies you, then I want to tell you, they draw near to the gates of death. That's a downward path when nothing can satisfy you. And so a big question that comes out of that, are you satisfied in your soul with Jesus? Because he's the one that really satisfied. Amen, Brother Tim. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. See, this is how great he is. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. It's great to call upon the Lord. When they cried to the Lord in their trouble, he delivers them out of their distresses. And that's why that we have everybody here that knows Jesus has something to give him thanks for. And there's plenty for us to celebrate. He sends forth his word and heals them. There is healing in his word. There is deliverance in his word. I know people are looking for, a combination, and they're looking all around the world for something special. That here it is right here. He's already given it. It's Jesus. He is the word. He is the healer. He is the rescuer. He is the restoration. And he rescues us from the pit and destruction, and he's the only one who can. Man cannot do that for you, but Jesus can. And let me just add, he wants to. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. This is a day for it. Every day is a day for it. And rehearse his deeds with shouts of joy and singing. I want to tell you, we get in a spot that we don't need to be in. And one of the first ways we get there is by forgetting what he's done and forgetting what he said. And so it's important to remember. It's important to rehearse and to remind yourselves and confess to yourself and to others the great things the Lord has done. Proverbs 4:22. They are life. It's talking about the word. Jesus is the word, and he's in the word, and he is life. And they are life to those who find him. Now, it's possible to read the word and not find the treasure. Let me just announce, he's the treasure. That's why we teach when you're in the word, you focus on Jesus and the word. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus to you in the word. It's possible to read the word and miss the treasure. I'm going to say this. It's possible to hear a sermon and miss the treasure. It's possible to memorize the word and miss the treasure. But I want to tell you something. If you're seeking him and your focus is on him, you can see him in the word. And you can find it. And finding it means to make it you, to make it yours, to make it with your name on it. And when you do that, it's healing to you. There's healing in his word. There's health to all your flesh coming right from his word, because in his word is his life. His life conquers death. His life overrides sickness and disease. His life overrides those things in this world that want to torment our mind. His life is freedom. Sound like the name of a good church, Freedom Life. Oh, well, it is. It is. Amen. His word brings healing and life to your whole body and all the people said. Proverbs 14:30 says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't just give peace. He said this, I don't give you peace like the world does. There's a lot of people out in the world wanting peace, and they think, well, if I can just get the right drug, or if I can get the right drink, or if I can just get the right person, or if I can just get the right combination, if I can just be without this conflict. See, that's the way the world describes it. That's not peace. That's world peace, but it doesn't last very long. It's temporary. Jesus gives forever peace. He is the source of peace. He's the portrayer of peace. He doesn't just give peace. He is peace. And that's what he wants to give us. And I want to tell you, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Now, the opposite of life is death. The opposite of peace is conflict. And that is the type of thing like jealousy is like, and it brings cancer to the bones. Wow. Do you see that? Now, we've talked about neuropeptides and the state of your soul. And this is what the Bible's been saying for thousands of years. Medical science is just finding it out. But your soul, the state of your soul in your brain, communicates with your whole body. They're calling it neuropeptides, where it sends signals out to every cell in your body on how the state of your soul is. And so if your state of your soul is up, if it's positive, and that's what happens with believers. See, when we believe, we have hope and we have faith and we're seeing the goodness of God. But when you're positive, it means you're believing. When you're negative, it means you're not believing. Boy, is that a little strong for you? Okay, do you need a little smile to make it go down a little bit? I'm just talking to you about it. Your state of your being communicates with your immune system. Your body, all the cells in your body is listening to your heartbeat. And so positive emotions that draw you toward the Lord, your whole body's getting a thumbs up. Negative emotions that draw you away from God, unbelieving, gives your whole body a thumbs down. Boy, I got more to say on that. Not going to do it right now. Proverbs 17:22 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Do we believe the Bible? Are we people of the Bible? Then I want to tell you, we have a choice, a chooser, that you know what? I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to ask until, you know what? I receive the touch of His joy, His peace, His love, His hope in my heart. That is good medicine. A broken spirit saps a person's strength. I can't tell you how many times I've interviewed people before praying over them to be healed, and I just asked them, what was the state of your heart? What was your heartbeat before you got sick? I can't tell you how many of them would report, you know, I was depressed. Are you listening? I was discouraged. I was despondent. I had the sads. Okay, you know what? It's easy as a human to get there. But I want to announce this. You're not just a human. Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is your life coach, and He will coach you into Jesus. He wants to reveal Jesus to you. So gratitude improves your mental and physical health, and that's why we make Thanksgiving a lifestyle, not just on Turkey Day or Turkey Week. It's a lifestyle for us. It reduces levels of depression, lowers your blood pressure, improves your sleep. And so get on the Thanksgiving channel, and let's esteem the Lord all year long, and all the people said. Hey, it's this kind of medicine only has benefits. I don't know if you've seen the commercials about medicine. You know, you listen to all the, and you say, I'd just rather not. Okay. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus' life, happy heart, cheerful heart, has no negative side effects. It's just good life medicine. So the first level of reason to give thanks as a lifestyle is that it's God's will. It's God's word. It's God's way. He's worthy. Magnify Him. And you know what the Bible describes? It's a gate to receive from God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. I want to tell you, when you enter the gate with thanksgiving unto the Lord, you're in a position, it positions your heart to receive all that He is. Wow, that's good. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm about to amen my own sermons here. Thank God in everything. Does it say for good things? Does it say for bad things? Does it say everything? Thank God in everything. Listen to what the Amplified brings out. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. He's the revealer and mediator of that will. And so it goes like this. The Lord is your shepherd no matter what. You shall not lack no matter what. And so I can give thanks no matter what. Hey, I trust his goodness no matter what. In every event and circumstance, he is working his loving kindness out in my life for my good and his glory. And you know what? Those people that express faith in the grace that he's provided say thank you. And your thank you is a gate to receive what he has for you. It's part of the cooperation. Romans 8:28, we are assured. Is there some assurance in the house? And we know that God being a partner in their labor, see, a partnership. All things are working together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God. Are you loving God? I want to tell you something, a real aptitude test is your attitude. Is it an attitude of gratitude or attitude of batitude? You know what I'm saying. I may have invented a word, but I do that. But you know where I'm talking about on this. And so it's very, very important for those who love God, that you love in the Lord, that you know what? It's not depending on circumstances. It's depending on who he is. We're called according to his design and purpose, and his design and purpose for you, listen to me, is to bring him honor and glory. I know, hey, there's a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching, and it's all about you. I'm just going to announce this. The Lord has you in his heart. You're the apple of his eye, but let me tell you something. Our position is to make it all about him. Everything was created for his honor and glory. So circumstances don't dictate whether we give thanks, whether it's good or bad, because our high priest is good. Our heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, I want to tell you, it's your pulse rate. Hey, it's your blood pressure. It's your temperature as a believer. This is it. I'm going to end with this. When you're complaining, you're remaining. Again, when you're complaining, you're remaining. When you're praising, he's a raisin. When you're praising, he's a raisin. Can we give the Lord thanks? Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, everybody that's joined us today. And if you think I always preach that short, just tune in next week. And you'll just have more to give thanks for. And we love you so much. Thanks for joining us today. And so we're going to begin right now to celebrate the Lord with our Thanksgiving testimonies.